Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Here's your money briefing for Monday, November 14th. I'm Daniela Cheslow for The Wall Street Journal, in for J.R. Whalen. We've been talking a lot on the show about how cheap airfares are gone, with the cost of flying going up by as much as 40%. Well, don't count on your frequent flyer miles or elite status to make travel more pleasant.
You see these programs ballooning in size, and you see the complaints coming out that it's much harder to get those sought-after upgrades on seats, that the lounges are packed to the brim with folks. So some of this is airlines trying to fix things and make it a little bit more premium for those folks who are flying with them the most.
So what do you need to know to keep your status, and is it worth it? We'll get some insights from our travel reporter, Jacob Passy, after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
It takes a lot to earn status with airlines. Some rungs on the elite ladder require spending at least $250,000 on a credit card branded with an air carrier. Now that elite status is in for a change. Jacob Passy is following the ups and downs of flight status for the Wall Street Journal, and he's with me now. Hi, Jacob.
Hi there. Great to be here.
Jacob, we're talking about elite status. Is this a first world problem? Like, what does this elite status give travelers, and how has that changed over the pandemic?
It is a little bit of a first world problem. There are a lot of benefits. You get upgrades to first class or business class. You get access to their really nice airport lounges. You get to board the flight earlier, even if you're not in first or business class. You get the separate check-in lane at the airport when you arrive. During the pandemic, airlines made it easier to maintain your status. So in a lot of cases, they reduced the requirements. They extended status. So you didn't need to worry about flying or spending money on credit cards to be able to continue to qualify for your status level. They were just extending it automatically. And that slowly started to end as travel picked back up again.
Tell me about the way some carriers are raising their requirements.
So Delta recently announced that beginning in 2023, their frequent flyers will need to spend about 33% more on flights to qualify for the gold, platinum, and diamond tiers of medallion status for 2024. American earlier this year completely overhauled their program, restructured it. So they are much more prioritizing how much you spend rather than how often or how far you fly. United made similar changes actually before the pandemic. So in general, we're seeing this shift away from rewarding you for how often you fly or how far you fly toward just how much you spend on your travel.
Why is this happening? What are the reasons the carriers are giving for these changes?
There's a theory out there that a lot of these changes are coming about out of necessity. These programs have surged in popularity thanks to sites like the Points Guy that have made it easier to learn how to gain status and game the system. So there's a lot more people out there with status, and especially coming out of the pandemic when they were extending status. A lot of people still earn status during the pandemic, believe it or not. So you see these programs ballooning in size, and you see the complaints coming out that it's much harder to get those sought-after upgrades on seats, that the lounges are packed to the brim with folks. So some of this is airlines trying to fix things and make it a little bit more premium for those folks who are flying with them the most. And there's also an extent to which it's just kind of rewarding, you know, folks who are spending the most with them.
You've been talking to some passengers. What are they telling you about what the changes mean for them, and how are they handling it?
A lot of folks are actually rolling with the punches. They are seeing these changes, learning that they have to spend more, and they're planning on doing that. Even though airfares are so expensive, a lot of the folks who are in these programs are going to be traveling a ton no matter what. There are folks who are traveling for work. And so for them, they want to have status with at least one airline because of all the benefits it provides them. And it makes traveling that often that much more comfortable. And the last thing a lot of folks told me that they want to face is having to start from scratch. So sometimes you can switch programs. Sometimes airlines will offer status matches from one carrier to another to get you over to their program. But if that's not something you can find, then you're going to be in a position where you're going to start from scratch, and it takes a lot of money to do that.
For those of us who might not have the resources to be up in there in the stratosphere of airline status, what are some ways people are saving for the holidays when it comes to booking flights?
So the biggest strategy we're seeing this year is probably flying early. That's not necessarily something new, but because of the pandemic, a lot of folks do have the flexibility to work remotely. Maybe not all the time, but perhaps for a week or two around the holidays. It's not foolproof, though. So first off, booking as early as possible is key. So if you have not booked your flights for Thanksgiving, time is of the essence. It's not going to get much cheaper the closer we get to the holiday. Same with Christmas. And also, be mindful of the days you book. So weekends are still going to come at a premium compared with weekdays around the holidays. More folks do tend to fly out on the Saturday and Sunday before Thanksgiving than the Monday before Thanksgiving, for instance. So you want to be a little strategic. Not any day in advance is going to save you money, but generally speaking, the earlier you fly, the better.
Will people still have their flight status for the coming holidays?
Yeah, so it depends on the program. Some of the programs did announce extensions through this year. But that being said, when you're booking your holiday travel, this is the time to think about your status for next year. Look at how much you need to spend or book to be able to maintain status for the following year. So keep that in mind when you're booking your holiday travel.
That's Wall Street Journal travel reporter Jacob Passy. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm Daniela Cheslow for the Wall Street Journal.
The Claude 3 model family by Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. Haiku is lightning fast and cost-effective. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Learn more at anthropic.com/Claude.